A reading from Exodus, chapter 14, verses 5 through 7, 10 through 14, and 21 through 29. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed toward the people, and they said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?" So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 picked chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in a pillar of fire and cloud, looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. I wasn't a terribly focused pastor this past Thursday. The week started really well. I waded through a bunch of emails and even got a jump start on today's sermon before Saturday night. But when Thursday came around, I was feeling in myself all this national hubbub around Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's testimony and how it might affect Judge Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. Driving to church that day with the radio on, I found I had to switch stations because I couldn't listen to the politicians grandstanding there as the hearing started. I thought instead of what I learned years ago, that 1 in 3 women is physically or sexually assaulted in her lifetime. I thought of my 3 sisters and my 6 nieces, wondering which of them would have stories to tell, or already does. And I thought of my own experience as a 20-year-old young man evading unwanted physical attention from a national church leader in his 60s. It happened to me too. Throughout the day on Thursday, then, I found myself obsessively refreshing the news websites, trying to learn as much as I could from the latest posted commentary as it was going on. And I went home early, Lori Eckberg can tell you, since I was getting nothing meaningful done in the office. By Friday morning, my focus was farther away still.
After Ford's hours of steady testimony and then Kavanaugh's intemperate response and the committee chair's decision to simply vote instead of investigate the matter further, I found myself in an emotional tailspin. The nation had witnessed some terrible effects of sexism and substance abuse, and yet there was no pause in the push for partisan power on the Supreme Court. And what could I, just one of, 300 million Americans, do about it? I wept because it felt like, to be honest, there were no good options. It would be unhelpful to just harangue and harass on social media. There were enough people doing that, and that only adds to the storm. I couldn't count on the current actors to come to a satisfactory compromise. That seems to be a dirty word these days. Both national parties seem entrenched and ideological, even though to a different degree, perhaps. Yet I couldn't just say a pox on both their houses and reject political awareness altogether, because then I become just another cynic who checks out rather than leaning in. It was hard to see a way forward. I don't know if this sounds true for you as well. And how many lives will be broken by sexism or the abuses of power that are rampant while we endure a centuries-long process to build a more perfect union? I want God to just break open the heavens, to come down and intervene in what is a broken system, to show up supernaturally, to say, enough with it all, put a stop to the mess, and to make a just and right path that's plain and clear, doing away with all the rest. I don't believe that God normally acts like that. But on Friday morning, I wasn't sure I could follow a God who is content to stay behind the scenes in the presence of injustice. I felt powerless as a citizen and backed into a corner, caught, as the saying goes, between the devil and the deep blue sea. Does this sound familiar to anyone?
Yes.
Yeah. Between the devil and the deep blue sea. That's where the Hebrew people find themselves. Quite literally, this morning, while fleeing from Pharaoh and from Egypt. We're some 400 years after the Joseph story that we heard last week, after the Hebrew people have prospered, have multiplied, after their enslavement at the hands of a new Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, after the call of Moses at the burning bush, after the 10 plagues. Now Moses and the people are fleeing from what has become a brutal existence. And yet they face a future as free people that is still fearful, still unknown. Like Abram and Sarai, whom we've heard about, they are headed to a new land based on God's promises, God's guidance. But now there are hundreds of horsemen and chariots, plus one very angry Pharaoh chasing after them. All of Egypt's armies aligned against them. Their flight leads them to the Red Sea, where they can go no further, but they can't go back either. They turn on Moses in sarcastic anger. Is there a shortage of graves in Egypt? Is that why you've led us out here into the desert? So that we die here at the hands of the powerful Egyptians? I see all these fearful people milling about there in the crowd, helplessly clamoring for salvation. One writer points out that Moses' opponents mention Egypt 5 times in just 2 verses. How many times do you suppose they reference God? 0. It says something about how anxiety and fear can multiply our foes and keep us from seeing salvation. Moses, though, recalls God's faithfulness and promises divine deliverance. on our own paths, from fear to freedom through faith, it's helpful to hear again what Moses instructs God's people. Do not be afraid and stand firm. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Now, the first two are classic biblical exhortations. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. But right now, I'm especially drawn to that last one. You have only to keep still. What? You have only to keep still in the face of all that was pursuing them and all the fear that was in front of them. You have only to keep still. We are in a cultural moment when conflicts about gender and power and control have led to great strife and feverish activity, much heat without accompanying much light. We're seeing cultural anxiety, I believe, in the face of great seismic social change, growing representation and power by people of color, growing accountability for men behaving badly, and growing freedom for people who are seeking, in the words of Outfront Minnesota, to be who they are, to love who they love, and live without fear of violence, harassment, or discrimination. In the face of this tumult, all this chaotic change and the backlash it inspires, our generations can lose sight of the humanity in the face of someone on another side of the cultural battleground. Getting stuck, as I was on Friday, in a fearful, polarized muck. Anxiety can be like quicksand, and the response to both is the same. Stop moving. You only have to be still. At the heart of the conflict between the Hebrews and Moses is the question of whether God is present there or not. Whereas the frightened Hebrews turn and churn because all they can see is Pharaoh's threat, Moses understands a deeper reality within their sight, that God is indeed a live and active and decisive character in this crisis. Of course, God will seem absent if we're too frenzied to sense God with us, or Emmanuel, in the name for Jesus. Of course, we will feel cast adrift if in stormy seas we lose sight of the deep anchor of faith. When anxious fear gives way to fretful or pointless motion and we find ourselves spinning in circles between the devil and the deep blue sea, then we might listen to the words of the psalmist. You know how this goes. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Beloveds, I don't know for sure how the waters will open in this time, how dry land will appear in the midst of the waters and a new birth, a new path to salvation will appear, just as at the first creation. The pathway through partisan division to greater wholeness is still unclear, though at least the next steps of investigation are becoming more apparent. What is to follow tomorrow, and tomorrow, and in the tomorrows after that, is not yet plain. Like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, like a church transforming for the future, the process will likely involve more chaos, more anxiety, will require some deconstruction and reconstruction. In the midst of all that, if we seek stillness enough to sense God's presence in the turmoil, we can trust that the God of salvation covenants with us and with all people to lead us from death to life, from heartache to care, from fear to hope, even especially when we cannot see the way ourselves. God is on our side. You have only to keep still. Amen.